Welcome to the Online Success Journey Podcast, your opportunity to discover and learn from entrepreneurs like yourself. This is not your typical podcast, but a place where you can get the real story and find out how real people encounter speed bumps and detours, but journey through to find success. Now, here's your host for the Online Success Journey Podcast, Patience.
Hello everyone and welcome to Online Success Journey. This is episode 79. Are you ready to join the clan? Today we have Richard Scott. He combines psychology, NLP and CBT with traditional and modern hypnosis for the fastest, most successful outcome. Specializing in anxiety, confidence, empowering women, and his proven track record has featured in national and international media. Hello Richard.
Hi, Patience. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm good.
Okay. I know the clan is anxious to hear your story, so let's get started with the basics. Can you tell my clan a little bit about your background, about what you did before you started your online business? So tell us right up from the last job or business before you were online and in NLP.
Okay. From the start, I basically loved art and design. I loved drawing things and painting things and creating. And I went through college to become a graphic designer. I worked all the way up to owning a design agency. And I found that I was really good at getting communicating with people, getting messages into people's minds. And it was any kind of messages, usually sales messages, visit this place, buy this product, go here, do this. And I was really good at it. And I could get messages into pretty much anyone's head, whether they were straight in front of their face or whether they were more subtle and subliminal messages. So I became really good at that. I worked for some major brands across the world, Rolls-Royce, Lamborghini, Porsche, Star Wars, Barbie, Dennis the Menace, all of these. Just because I was good at getting messages across and advertising. And one day I just thought, I actually became bored of sending all these messages out and not actually seeing the people who received these messages. And I thought I could change what I do and I could give people messages of like hope, inspiration, help them change their lives around. And I could do it one-to-one. And I could get the buzz just as much as they did when they changed their life and I see they changed their life. That's what does it for me as well. So I learned hypnosis, neuro-linguistic programming, cognitive behavioral therapy, all of these kind of counseling modalities. And I learned all of these, combined them all, and found a way of getting really fast, really rapid effects and changes in people, and just helping them to basically remodel their own life and just change their life. And it gives me this massive buzz to do that.
Wow, what a great background, all the way from graphic design now to NLP. Wow. Okay. Why do you do what you do? I know you said it gives you the buzz, but beyond the buzz, why do you do what you do?
I think because I've seen life from the other side of the fence, in that I was part of the machine that was pumping out messages into people's lives, almost creating stress. Building these kind of social profiles, you must earn this amount, you must buy this product, go to visit this place, you must have this social status. Unfortunately, I hold my hand up. I was one of the people who used to airbrush women on the front of magazines, taking out the cellulite, making them, dare I say it, more attractive to the general population because of all this airbrushing. And I didn't like what I was doing. I was creating this falseness. I do what I do now because I spin the messages around. I tell people, you're amazing who you are now, without performing or without having any other skills or abilities. It's just who you are, and you have this amazing person within you, and I just help people to let that shine. And like I said before, I'm often telling clients when they come into my office, it's like looking at that old the evolution of man chart, where there's a crouching person and then they eventually start to walk and talk upright. I see this every time a client enters my office. They're they're shrouded, they're shrunk, the body language is all it's like concave, they're just shrunk in a tiny bundle when they walk in, and when they walk out of the office they're full of confidence, their shoulders back, their heads up. It's amazing to see that transformation, and it just empowers me to do more. I absolutely love it.
Why do you decide to create the online program just for women? Are you becoming sexist?
Not at all. No, the story was, most of my clients back in the UK, I now live in Australia. I've been here 2 years, but I've been doing this full time for the last 12 years back in the UK and then 2 years here. Most of my clients ended up being women. And they were riddled with stress and anxiety, low self-esteem, low confidence. And something about it, I just clicked with this particular demographic. I really got along well. The older ladies almost like wanted to mother me. The younger ladies just really clicked and got along really well. So we got some great results out of it. And because I worked really well with ladies, I didn't have to do as much work. I didn't have to put as much effort in to see these massive changes, because instantly I formed this trust with them, this rapport with them, and a friendly nature just came out. I was just really friendly, really open, created these instant kind of bonds, these friendships, and it just worked really well. I got the messages in there, helped these people shine. It basically struck gold once when this happened to my wife, actually. We had our child. My wife had her first child, and she went back to the place she used to work, and she was treated absolutely different. The second she got back to work, before she left work to have our baby, she was in a really good job. She was in management level. She was the top person. And when she went back, she was treated like just a mum. And it infuriated me. She was the same person she was when she left the place. When she went back, everybody treated her differently. And her self-esteem, it just plummeted. Her confidence plummeted. Stress levels rose. You could see all the symptoms just coming out. From stress and anxiety, and it was horrible to watch, because I was so close to my wife, obviously, and seeing her change psychologically. She was negative thinking, she was distracted, memory loss, emotionally it was tearful, irritable, mood swings, defensive, not to mention the lack of confidence and self-esteem, and then of course it progresses into the physical things, the colds, the infections, the aches, pains, weight gain, even down to minor panic attacks and tiredness. And then that in itself leads on to behavioral. She was prone to kind of accidents, forgetfulness, just no time to relax, always wanting to busy a mind and stressed. Self-neglect, social withdrawals, we started having relationship problems. All of this just because of the reaction she got when she went back to work as a mom. And we dug deeper into it. And it's a very common thing that happens when people go back to work after having children. They're treated almost differently, because I think the employers think that their mindset changes and their priorities change. And they're not serious with work. They've chosen a family over work. And I just thought, I can step in here. I can teach these people to just absolutely shine, to not let the external world batter them down, and to just be themselves and allow that to show everybody else that, yeah, I am this powerhouse inside. I'm still this person with kick-ass confidence, full of self-esteem. Even though I am a mom, I'm also this powerhouse businesswoman as well. And I love showing people how to achieve that just really easily.
So if a new mom is listening on this call, what do you think they should, before they go to work, how should they get themselves prepared So they don't really get there. And they're like, oh, you are a new mom. How is your child? How is your husband? Because that is going to be the case. No longer, how is the project going? So how should they get prepared to really go on and just show them that, look, I'm even better than how I left out. Yeah.
Really good question. There are lots of things to do to take on board this kind of this essence of empowerment. Lots and lots of things you can do. Little practical things, just little different ways of thinking can help you progress through a day. Accept that life isn't perfect, for one, because everybody seems to be striving for this perfection. Everybody strives for this perfection, and you start to compare yourself to others. And it's one of the fundamental flaws. You just really shouldn't compare yourself to anyone else's achievements, but just be more focused on your own achievements. And just in doing that, you can start to build this kind of self-respect again. Yeah, I'm this person. I've achieved this in my life. I've done this. And even aside from the achievements, I've now had a child. What a miracle. And that's one of the biggest miracles in the world. And I've achieved that. And I've now got this loving little child with me. Perceive any challenges as opportunities for growth. You're going to plow through every single day with some kind of challenge. We all do. But see each challenge individually. Don't step into this overwhelm and generalize everything as a massive challenge. Break the challenges down into smaller challenges. Don't see them as problems. Actually call them challenges. Because even down to the language that you use every single day, your words, the words that you taste to yourself, they're the most important words you will ever hear. So those things that are rattling around in your head, if you call them problems, they just become catastrophic. They're just nightmares, mega problems. It's end of the world stuff. But if you just call them challenges, it instantly kind of reframes the way you think about them. Challenges, they might fail, but you might be able to succeed as well. It doesn't instantly turn it into a negative. And if you're not thinking negatively, you can start to think more positively. Instead of thinking of all the negative traits, just start to think of positive things. Monitor your own thoughts. Realize how often you actually think about negative things. How often you doubt yourself. How often you worry about the future. And if you catch yourself doing all of these, you'll be in a better position to become aware of them and then instantly stop them and try to replace them with positives. I almost get into no end of arguments in the office because people bring problems and challenges to me, and I have such a positive personality. I spin everything around into a positive slant. I see everything as a learning experience. Even if something goes wrong, catastrophically wrong, you now know how not to do it again. You've learned something. So you can take that through to the future and see this negative as a learning curve, and it spins it into a positive. Just basically be open to change, be more flexible, and deep inside, you've got to start nurturing this belief that you are good enough. It's one of the biggest challenges that most of the ladies that I see, they believe they're not good enough. And that usually comes down from very early memories. It usually starts as a childhood memory, a feeling of not being good enough. And quite often it's down to a family dynamic, the relationships in the family when the child is very young. If there's some kind of disturbance in the family, let's say mum and dad are arguing, the child will ultimately pick up on the tension and the stress in the place. And then the child may even try to resolve the issue themselves. And it's obviously not their place to resolve the issues, but the child might try anyway, just to make mummy or daddy or whoever's looking after them feel better. And when it doesn't actually get better, the child then takes that thought upon itself and starts to think, well, maybe I'm just not good enough to do this. Maybe I'm not good enough to help people. And just planting the seeds in that early age, if that thought is continued to be thought about, it starts to build these stronger neural pathways. And you, that child will then grow up, and every time they think to themselves, oh, I'm not good enough to do this, I can't do that, it will strengthen that negativity. So most of the women that come to see me, they've had these thoughts most of their lives, just kind of buried down, festering away underneath their conscious awareness. And that's where I use some of the skills to pluck those thoughts out and to reframe them and to make them see that it initially wasn't their problem to start off with. They've just either borrowed the problem or had the problem through transference or some emotional transference. But as soon as they realize that, they start singing. It's great.
Okay, but don't you think also media, today, 21st century, don't you think also media is putting a lot of pressure on women especially?
Amazingly so, yes. And like I said earlier, I put my hands up. I am sorry. I used to be on the other side of that media. I used to be throwing out those pictures of photoshopped models, telling people what to eat and how to slim and how to use that negative word, diet. I hate using that word, primarily because they don't work. But that's another story.
Okay.
Yeah, the media everywhere, everything around you, you're soaking in messages, even things that you don't actually notice consciously. Just a glimpse of a picture out of the corner of your eye, and your brain will pick up that picture, and chances are it will remember what the picture was, even if you don't at the time. It will remember it later. And so, yeah, on the cover of every magazine, you have these models. Movies now, they're full of perfect people. And it's just this, it's a fallacy. It's all wrong. It's teaching people that they have to achieve, I don't know, this beauty. But what is beauty? It's subjective, isn't it? I've seen people who have been through horrific accidents, who are disfigured, and they're some of the most beautiful people on this planet. They have hearts of gold. They're just amazingly intelligent. They are just amazing, but they don't look like the perfect mold. And I can't stand the way society's gone because of that media.
Okay, we blame you, right?
Hey, that's why I'm making amends now.
Okay, we forgive you. All right, let's put man aside. How did you know you were successful in your PNL open design for women?
I've basically got feedback over the last 12 years of full-time doing what I do. In the hypnosis and the NLP and the CBT framework, treating people for the last 12 years, primarily women, getting the feedback from every single session, what worked, what didn't work, what worked best for this certain type of lady, even different techniques for different ages or different backgrounds, different cultures, different religions. Everybody thinks slightly differently. So I've just basically taken 12 years worth of feedback and techniques and perfected some of them and then put it together as a program, which initially I'm going to deliver in person so I can see the results from this absolute program, because up to now I've treated people separately and tried parts of the techniques with these people, but this is the one where everything comes together. So I just know it's going to be absolutely massively successful, because over those last 12 years, there have only been 6 clients that my techniques haven't actually worked for. And I'm talking about thousands of people now, and it's only not worked 6 individual times. So I don't know, do the maths. What's that? It's at least a 99% success rate, which I find staggering.
Wow. Okay. I have seen many NLP programs online. Everyone wants to be a coach, but can really anyone become a coach? Or some of you are born talented, or should I say they are special? Can anyone become a coach?
That is the ultimate question, isn't it? Part of me is almost biting this microphone at the minute. No. Not everybody can become a coach. The market is flooded with coaches now, absolutely flooded. And every day I see courses that are available that teach people to become a coach in a weekend. They teach people to train in hypnosis in a weekend, or NLP over a weekend. And these people go on these courses for 3 days and they call themselves practitioners. They call themselves coaches. And it infuriates me. I've been doing this 12 years and I'm still learning. Every time I see a client, I learn some extra little gold nugget of information. And to learn something over a 3 day course. Most of the coaches nowadays, you find people who are becoming a coach because they've been through a journey, a story. They've had a transformation. They've gone into some kind of pitfall, into a pit of despair. They've been helped to get out of that pit of despair, and they just jump on board with the techniques that an operator has used to climb them out of that pit of despair. So the person that treated them was the coach, was the therapist. But because this person has experienced that low, they do have like a unique skill because they've actually been there. But they also then have to train for as many years as the therapist that brought them out of that hole had to train to be as good as that. And I don't think that's being taken into account. There are a lot of people who promise to make you into a coach in a few days. And I think it's a disservice to the people who have been properly training over decades and have that kind of experience. But, you know, the one way you can get past that is to ask people, if you approach a coach or a therapist, ask them for social proof. Ask them how many people have treated. Can you speak to them, or do you have testimonials from them? Some kind of social proof. I know I've got hundreds of people who I can just throw out to people and say, yep, these people who came to see me for stress, these for anxiety, these for fears and phobias, these for weight loss. In fact, I did it yesterday. I sent off a load of testimonials to somebody who was asking just that question. If you're a newly qualified coach and you haven't coached anyone before, you're really a fledgling. You're not that experienced. So I would go for people with a lot more experience and trust them instead. But sorry to ramble on, but okay. you hit a nerve.
I just wanted to see how you would feel. Okay.
You're trying to upset me, aren't you?
No, I'm trying to see what are you doing on the other fence of the side. Okay, what are your three tip tops for any ladies out there listening and suffering from anxiety?
Okay, off the top of my head, let me see, anxiety. Anxiety, if you understand it, it's all about worry. Stress is a pressure that you feel all around you, but anxiety is a worry about something that may or may not happen in the future. So to be anxious, you're thinking of something in the future. What I would say immediately, bring your mind back to here and now. It's the essence of mindfulness, living in the moment, right here and right now. Because what I've been saying recently is I've been telling people, if you think about it, right now, this second, now, is all that ever is. It's all that ever exists. The past, it's history. It's gone. It's yesterday. It doesn't exist anymore. Tomorrow, who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? It's a mystery. But right now, that's the only point that you're actually living. And it's this point right now where you can make decisions which determine your tomorrow. So if you're anxious about something, bring your mind back to right here and right now. And once you're living right now in the moment, you can choose what actions to take for the future. And then if you're anxious about something happening, if it's just a fear of something that might happen, you can just remind yourself that, hey, that's just a fear. That might not even happen. But what you could do is you could imagine something happening and what you would do to get around it. So instead of being surprised in the situation if something goes wrong, you've already thought about these other things that you could do, these alternative things that you could do if something went wrong. So the first one, yeah, be mindful, live in the moment. The second one, I would probably say nowadays, it's all about overwhelm. Everybody takes on too many things to do and we get overwhelmed really quickly. So I would pick your top three tasks. If it's just something personal, something going on in your life, something at home, just pick three tasks to do. Don't overwhelm yourself. And then at the end of those three tasks, you can feel great because you've accomplished the three tasks. You could reward yourself for doing these three tasks. You generally start to feel good. And if you complete them in record time, yeah, you could go on and do some more, but it doesn't matter because you feel good because you've already completed those tasks. It's the same professionally. At one point, I was doing somewhere between like 15 to 20 different tasks for my business every single day, doing something to push the business forward. And it was just physically and mentally exhausting to be on the ball all the time, juggling so many things in the air. And I read a great book on how to supercharge your productivity by a guy called Daniel Sarescu. And it just changed me instantly. He tells you to pick three main tasks, just the three, and just focus on those. And since doing that, it's just everything's just 10 times. It's 10 times better because I feel great. I achieve the three things every day and I'm grateful for having achieved them. And I praise myself. So I feel even better for achieving them. And it's only three things. But it's the most important three things that I've chosen, which push the business forward. So that's great. So be mindful, prioritize your tasks, and realize that mistakes happen. Don't beat yourself up about it. Mistakes, they're there to teach us things. I often say failure doesn't exist. You either win or you learn. So even if you do make a mistake, it's not the end of the world. Learn from it. Move on. And just by doing those three things, being mindful, prioritizing your tasks, and just learning that mistakes happen, just doing that, you can create more energy for yourself, more time for yourself, and get a better sense of control over your entire life just because of those three things. So it's amazing when you can break them down just to three simple things and do that to change your life.
Okay. What is the most valuable thing you have ever given away?
Wow. Probably my time. But does that sound conceited?
Wow.
My heart to my wife.
Well, that's not, we can't share that. We are all the way to the UK and around the globe. So
I think good advice. It's invaluable. That probably is the best thing I've ever given away. Just good advice that changes people's lives. I've never been one to keep things to myself anyway. I've always shared things with everybody around. Even if I haven't had that much to give, I've always given more than I've ever had. And I think that's why people have responded so much, because they've seen that I would give my last penny if it helped somebody else. And to get that kind of commitment, it's quite rare, but I'm proud of being like that. I grew up without much money, so I didn't see money as being that important. I found other things to appreciate. And knowing that now, I'm not drawn to money. It happens as a perk of treating people. The more people I can help in this world, obviously the more money will flow back to me. But my focus is on serving people, and that's probably the most valuable gift I can give, just serving people with the skills I have.
Wow. Okay. Let's talk about your business in more details. You said you treat people in person, they come and they see you, but then now you're creating this program, which is going to be online. How is that going to really benefit, like me coming to visit in your office, and now I'm here online learning it? What are the benefits?
The benefits to you are that you can basically spread the treatment over a 12-week period rather than just coming to see me for 1 hour a week or 1 hour every 2 weeks. The things that you get with the online program is that you get downloadable items, worksheets, PDF e-guides, all these kind of downloads that you can progress through in your own time. And you actually, when you come to see me, we spend an hour going through hypnotic techniques and using different NLP and CBT skills to change the way you think. Mm-hmm. I record those and I get them down into MP3 format and I give them to you. So when you download the program, it goes over, it goes over a 12-week period, but it covers everything that I would do actually in person. If we were to actually break down the content of the whole thing, you are getting so much more than you would ever get actually seeing me in office, because you get to keep all the MP3s, the downloads. It's not just an hour spent with me. It's an hour spent with me on the MP3, but you can listen to that every single time you want to. So in essence, you could have, I don't know, 10 sessions a day if you really wanted to. And learn from all these techniques. Whereas the people who come to see me in person, there's obviously just one of me. I can make the session a little bit more bespoke, but there's only one of me and I can only see so many people during a day. But this way, it gets to go global. I get to do what I do and send it out globally.
Okay. Now, while I'm listening to this MP online, if I have a question, can I just email you? Can I get in contact with you?
Yeah. Now, the whole point of this is that I can send things out globally, but I'm always contactable. There is always support through the form of, at the moment, I do phone or text support, email support. Anybody's always welcome to contact me to ask questions. I always encourage that. Because the more questions people ask, the more information I can give. And it's all about clarity. When you get things clear in your mind, if you have any doubt, that just puts this negative slant in your mind. All you have to do is contact me by any means, ask a question, there's the answer. Suddenly the doubt's gone. And then you can proceed with whatever else.
Okay, I was just worried that once I'm going to listen, I was going to be left in the cold and listening to this MP and I can't get access to
not you. At all, no. I don't want mine to be like that. I've seen other courses that basically drop you an email and that's all you get. No. This one, I want to build a community into it. I want people to enjoy doing the course, to interact with me. And then go on to a community such as like a Facebook page or a Facebook community. And interact with other people and share their stories and help each other out and build this kind of successful community on there.
Wow. All right. So where do we find you and we can then start accessing this lovely information?
You can find me at the website. It's www.mevolution. It's kind of a combination of evolution and me. So it's Mevolution, Mevolution .works, Mevolution.works. And if you could go onto that website, there's a lot of information on there. It tells you all about the different stages of the course, the journey itself, testimonials from people who have used the course in person. I offer free consultations, and there's even a free gift on there to instantly start your journey. It's a free download where you can use it to de-stress, to help yourself relax and get a little bit of clarity in your mind. So right from the beginning, there's a free consultation and a free gift right there without you having to do anything.
Wow. Okay, that is really nice. So, Clan, there will be more from Richard in a moment. If you are finding Richard's journey interesting and you are ready to hear more, come and listen to the full version of the interview at onlinesuccessjourney.com. If you are on Online Success already, click on part two of Richard's journey and you'll get lots and more tips to help you with your anxiety and the other problems you have. And don't forget, you can access all other Online Success interview podcasts on the site as well. That's a wrap, Clan. Remember, success is a journey. Patience and Richard.
This is not the end of the journey. We hope you've enjoyed listening to part one and want to be sure you know there is a second part to this and every journey podcast at onlinesuccessjourney.com, filled with even more success tips, uplifting stories, and even a bit of fun. There are dozens of episodes only available to the members of the Online Success Journey Clan. Check out the website and click on Join the Clan for more information. Patience would like to thank you for listening to this podcast, and she has a free audio gift for you at her website. Go to OnlineSuccessJourney.com for instant access to this gift. Of course, you know that listening to the journeys of others helps each of us chart our own path, so make sure you're subscribed to be notified as each new interview is posted. There are so many ways to stay connected to the Online Success Journey and to listen in. And if you're enjoying the podcast, we appreciate your help in telling others. One of the best ways to share the benefit you get is to rate and review it at Stitcher and other sites by clicking the stars or completing the ratings form, by clicking thumbs up and leaving a comment on YouTube, or liking and sharing the podcast on social media. To review the podcast within iTunes, simply open iTunes to the podcast, click on Ratings and Reviews, then write a review. On behalf of Patience, and until next time, thanks once more for listening. It is our hope that this podcast will guide you on your own online success journey.